We're following the threat of a partial government shutdown later tonight, but also other major stories coming out of Washington. Jim Mattis resigning as Secretary of Defense, and President Trump's decision to pull 7,000 troops out of Afghanistan and withdraw all American forces out of Syria. Mattis disagreed with both of those decisions and submitted his resignation letter to President Trump last night. The president has thanked Mattis for his service and says a new secretary will be named shortly. In the meantime, there are big questions about the future of U.S. foreign policy and the state of the Trump administration. Let's bring in Julian Zelizer. He's professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Jason Dempsey. He's a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. He also served two tours as an army officer in Afghanistan. Jason, good to have you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Julian, I want to start with you. Your reaction to the importance of this entire week, really, with this troop decision first and now Mattis's resignation.
Well, I think this reflects some of the instability in the White House that we've seen a lot of, but it all seemed to accelerate in one week. We saw real policy consequences, not so much in the substance of the decision on Syria, but in the way in which it was handled, meaning without consultation with allies, without consultation with national security advisors, it seems, in the Oval Office. And it reflects a kind of impulsive way in which the president handles his business. And then Mattis obviously sent very strong words, not to President Trump, but to the GOP, to the country, about two principles that he clearly doesn't think the president is committed to: international alliances and a strong stand against authoritarian governments.
Like Russia and China, right?
And I think the week ends that way. In addition, there might be a shutdown of government.
Right. There's a lot to go over here. But something like this has happened before. Take a look back at Cyrus Vance, who was Secretary of State under President Carter, resigned when Carter tried a military rescue of hostages in Iran. It did not go well. There is some historical precedent for this, Julian, but not much. Is that right?
Yeah, Cyrus. So Secretary Vance resigned. That was over a military operation to save the hostages in Iran. In 68, McNamara steps down from being Secretary of Defense. And privately, he had expressed a lot of doubts and reservations about the war in Vietnam, although publicly he never did it. And there's a few other examples outside of defense, Elliot Richardson stepping down in 73 during the Saturday night massacre. But there's not a huge number. And what's remarkable to me is this wasn't simply about a policy or a particular decision. This, at least according to his own letter, is about the entire worldview that the president has adopted and is now pushing for the administration.
Jason Dempsey, let's bring you in. Do you believe General Mattis was ever a good fit in this for this job? He resisted the president's plan for transgender troops. He was not pleased with the deployment of U.S. troops to the U.S. to the Mexican border. And then the final straw, Syria and Afghanistan. Your thoughts on whether Mattis ever should have been in that job?
No, I don't think so. And it's kind of an unfortunate character study or tragedy. You know, I think Mattis explicitly saw himself not as a fellow traveler, but a check on Trump. And I think that was kind of his explicit framework going in. Unfortunately, right, there's a good historical question here as to whether Mattis's gambit did more harm than good. Because just by being there, he validated what the president was doing. And the question is that so when he didn't resist or when he didn't speak up in all these earlier instances, the president was able to continue to consolidate power. And we saw folks who may early on have felt empowered to challenge some of these policies, whether it's, you know, your Corkers, your Grahams, et cetera. Now they've become irrelevant as the president has consolidated more and more power. So I don't think he was a fit.
What kind of damage does that do to the military? Your insight as a veteran, how this affects the troops. Is this something that they're watching closely?
Yes and no. I mean, part of the issue, the big question that Julian alluded to is there an overarching strategy here, or is this just impetuousness? Right? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to get out of it? Because on the one hand, I'm a little bit torn. I do not believe that we are making sufficient progress in Afghanistan to justify our current commitment and to obligate ourselves to go on for another 10 to 15 years. Trump had those instincts coming in. Now, of course, the question always was this just a broken clock event where he just happened to be right, but there was no undergirding of logic or strategy underneath his impulse to withdraw. So the problem we have here is, did we kind of fail diplomacy 101 by not at least trying to leverage what we could with what we had over there before we unilaterally decided, hey, we're cutting down, we're leaving? And by all reports, Khalilzad and others were a little bit blindsided by this.
Well, that's a good opportunity to bring in Jennifer Glass. So I'd like both of you to stay on the line here. Jennifer has been covering, reporting from Afghanistan for 7 years. She's in the U.S. today. Jennifer, I want to talk to you about these troop decisions, especially your sense of what it means on the ground to have President Trump cutting the U.S. force there by 50%.
Peter, I've been speaking to friends and colleagues and officials in Afghanistan all day, our time, and it's taken a lot of people by surprise. I think blindsided was a very good word. We're in the midst of peace talks. There were peace talks in Abu Dhabi this week, days of peace talks between the Americans and the Taliban. What this means for those is a very big challenge and certainly seems to undermine what the Americans were trying to do. And the announcement is directly opposite to what Trump's policy in August of 2017 stated. They basically said, we're sending more troops in and it's open-ended. There's no timetable. It's going to be conditions-based on the ground. And that has been the message. And Afghans saw that as a vote of confidence and a sense that the Americans would stick with them. And now, of course, this announcement, which has taken everyone I've spoken to really pretty completely by surprise.
The Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, spoke to the BBC. This was recorded after the news about the Syria pullout, but before the president announced he was removing 7,000 troops from Afghanistan. Let's listen.
The United States is here with us because of its global and national security interest. So it's an interest-based discussion. We're not asking for a charity case. We're asking for partnership that is meaningful. And the more we reduce our economic reliance for the support of our security forces, I think the more solid the partnership will become.
So big questions about what that partnership is anymore, but how do you think the Taliban responds to this? Do they wait this process out until the troops are gone and then fill in? Because unlike the Islamic State, which has lost much of its territory throughout the Middle East, the Taliban is resurgent.
The Taliban is resurgent. It controls or contests 40% to 50% of the country. We haven't seen any official statement from the Taliban. One official spoke to one of my colleagues saying that Trump obviously sees negotiation as the only way to end uncertainty. But I think the Taliban are going to spin this as a victory. So they've been talking to U.S. officials, to Zalmay Khalilzad and the peace negotiating team, and they say they only spoke to them. They refused to speak to the Afghan government delegation in the Emirates this week because they say only the U.S. can end the occupation. And that has been a core tenet for them for any moving forward in peace talks is that U.S. troops must withdraw. Well, now they've gotten a partial withdrawal. They've gotten half of the troops to leave. They haven't given any concessions at all. And the fighting has been fierce all around the country. They've been taking more ground. They've been attacking security forces. The Afghan army and police are taking casualties that most other countries couldn't sustain. Nearly 30,000 troops have been killed in the last 3 years. That's 25 a day, with two or three times that being terribly injured. It's been called by U.S. generals unsustainable losses. And now, of course, without the Americans, it could get even worse. I just want to say that Ghani's chief advisor, Fazal Fazli, tweeted, this is the only thing we've heard from the Afghan president's office since this announcement. He says it's not going to make any difference because Afghan security forces have been in charge of security for the last 4.5 years. But that's not exactly true. U.S. forces are at the forefront of the fight against al-Qaeda and the Islamic State and, of course, in charge of airstrikes.
All right. Reporter Jennifer Glass, thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you.
Jason Dempsey, what about that? And also this job that whoever is going to replace General Mattis will have.
Well, so one of the interesting things, if I go to the latter, I guess, first, one of the interesting things when we talk about was this a strategy or is this just an impetuous declaration, I guess, the decision or whether we'll know that based on who the president picks next. You know, what Mattis said in that letter was pretty key. He said, you need somebody more in line with your views, or you deserve somebody more in line with your views. So if there's any coherence behind this, if the president picks somebody like Cotton or Graham, then we know this was all just personality and pettiness.
Politics, right.
We know that it's just Trump lashing out at somebody he grew to dislike.
I want to give sorry to interrupt you, but I want to give Julian just a chance to wrap it up here. Just final thoughts on all of this news today.
I think it was a big day in news, and it's always hard to say that with the Trump presidency. But the rate of turnover in this administration is pretty astounding. And it's not simply that one or two people have moved around. We've just had an ongoing departure of top leaders and advisors in the administration with a president who clearly is operating on his own. And in this case, it touches down on foreign policy, which is what's generating the concern. We're talking about war and peace.
Julian Zelizer and Jason Dempsey, thanks to you both. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.